The book of Acts tells us after Jesus' resurrection, the number of disciples were increasing. More and more people believed in Jesus and more people joined the new movement. People of diverse backgrounds were united in faith. The book of Acts tells us the early Christians, who were called the followers of the way, included Hebrew-speaking Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles living in Antioch, Ethiopians from Africa, and others. And we learn in the New Testament that Paul wanted to preach to the ends of the earth. And after his visit to Rome, he had planned to go to Spain to preach. The Christians, believers in the resurrection of Jesus and all that the resurrection means, were linked together in our one faith. But people are people. Because of our differences, disputes arise. And we learn a clash did take place between the Greeks, who are referred to as Hellenists, and the Jews, who are referred to as Hebrews. The Hellenists were either Greek-speaking Jews, or they were Greeks who lived in Jerusalem. Either way, they were a people whose way of life and language were very different from the Hebrews. The problem, the Hellenists complained, was an unequal distribution of food to their widows. The criticism was that the Hebrew widows were receiving more food. But the real problem, as it often is deeper. There was a cultural divide between the two peoples. The Jews had their own language. They spoke Aramaic and they spoke Hebrew. They had their own customs of how they dressed, how they wore their hair, how they lived in culture, and how they worshipped, and that was typically in synagogues. The Hellenists had their own language. They spoke Greek. The Hellenists had their own customs, their own way of dressing, their own way of fixing their hair, and their own culture, and they worshipped in different places, some in temples, some in synagogues, and some in home churches. The Jews knew and identified with the Old Testament, Moses, the Torah, the Psalms, the prophets, the books of wisdom. The Hellenists, who were Greek-speaking Jews, probably had some knowledge of the Old Testament, but in their adoption of Greek ways probably had a way of disregarding Scripture. The Hellenists who were Greek probably had little or no knowledge of the Old Testament, the Torah, Moses, the Psalms, or the prophets. Therefore, it wasn't just language or attire. There were also major cultural and theological differences. Now, the book of Acts does not go into detail on these dissimilarities because it was focusing on the growth of Christianity, the faith in the resurrected Jesus. The New Testament tells the truth about people who do believe and the truth about problems that come about when different cultures clash. And it was this diversity which caused the conflict with the Hellenist widows, who were probably unintentionally overlooked. The surface of the immediate problem, of course, was the distribution of food and the necessities. But there were other underlying obstacles which had to be overcome. So what did they do? The apostles called a church council of all of the believers. And what they did was true congregationalism. Everyone gathered together to work on the problem. The apostles wanted everyone who had a complaint the opportunity to be heard, and if possible, have input into resolving the problem. And what was proposed pleased everyone in the assembly. The solution was to pick 7 individuals. The job description, as outlined in the book of Acts, was this. They would be servers at table. They had to have a good reputation. They had to be full of the Holy Spirit, and they had to be wise. That's quite a job description. These are the earliest Christians, and these are the people who wanted to serve the members. And this is the job description of the people we want to serve in our congregation. In fact, the job description for all churches, all Christians, and especially for us. Jesus is seeking people willing to serve in the capacity that fits them best. People of good character. People open to the Holy Spirit. People of wisdom. People of common sense. So this remains the job description for individuals who volunteer their time now, who have volunteered their time in the past in this church, and who will continue to volunteer their time in the future. Back to the book of Acts. What was notable about the 7 who were chosen was that all had Greek names. These 7 individuals were people who had a better understanding of the language, the customs, and the background of the Greek speakers, because they were most likely Hellenists themselves. The apostles listened to the solution to the problem and prayed over these men. And then the apostles agreed with the decision made at this congregational meeting and laid their hands on the seven, and they were ordained. The Greek word diakinio means to serve, to attend, to host. So these first were the deacons of the fledgling church. These seven individuals were co-workers with the apostles. They were called by the congregation to help with distribution to the widows. And over the course of centuries, of course, the duties of deacons continued to grow. I think it was because of the cohesion of the early disciples that the book of Acts tells us that the word of God continued to increase in both the minds and the hearts of people, and the number of disciples multiplied. And in addition, we are told a great many of the priests in Jerusalem also became followers because they believed in Jesus. So what did those early individuals recognize in the disciples? What they saw was that the people of Jesus cared for each other. They loved each other. And who did they recognize? They recognized Jesus in the midst of his followers. I believe that they saw that the affection of their fellow men and women who believed in the risen Lord was true, and they all gathered together as one. They were united even though they had significant differences in language, in culture, and background, but they came together in the name of Jesus. There was a recognition of something greater than they could imagine. God was in their midst in a new and different way. There was a recognition both by Greek and Jew and others who followed them that because of his resurrection, Jesus was the fulfillment of Hebrew scripture as well as the fulfillment of the expectation of the Greeks who had looked to their Greek deities but could not find fulfillment. The Greek gods did not give them the satisfaction they hoped for. What they found, both Greek and Jew alike, was that Jesus is the completion of hope for all people. So now we're on the road to Emmaus, years earlier. When the two disciples started their dejected walk away from Jerusalem toward Emmaus, it was 2 days after Jesus died on the cross. They were discouraged. And some scripture scholars, when they look at verse 25, believe that the two disciples are husband and wife. The husband's name, Cleopas. So these two disheartened people were discussing the death of Jesus. As they travel on, they meet up with a stranger. They all walk along together, and this was in the afternoon at the same day as the resurrection. They start talking. The man, Cleopas, is surprised, shocked, if you will, that the stranger has not heard about the death of Jesus. The two express their hope that this Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They tell the stranger that this Jesus was a prophet, but not just a familiar prophet, but a spiritual man. He was mighty in deed and mighty in word, both before God and before people. They tell the stranger that this Jesus who was crucified was as close to God as anyone could be. So as they walk and converse with Jesus, who they still do not recognize, Jesus begins to explain to them the Old Testament in a brand new way. He begins to instruct them on how this Jesus is the fulfillment of all the scripture. And he interprets to them the prayers of the psalmist, the stories of Moses and the other prophets, the meaning of the Torah, the prophetic statements. And he demonstrates how all of this points to the person of Jesus, the Christ. And even then, they still do not recognize him, but they sure learned a lot. Until they stopped for the evening, and all of them are at table as friends, and they recognize Jesus when he breaks the bread. Eventually, what they and all the disciples realize is that in the breaking of the bread, every single time we do it, is a bridge between then and now. Holy Communion is the connection in time between Jesus at table with his disciples and the table in this church. Holy Communion is the link with you and me, with God through Jesus. And it was when the bread was broken that Cleopas and his partner's eyes were opened. After Jesus was gone, the two shared with each other that their hearts were burning within themselves when Jesus was talking with them, while Jesus was interpreting scripture, while Jesus was unlocking the words of Scripture for them. And in their excitement, even though there were no street lamps on the road, they probably stumbled back to Jerusalem to the 11 remaining apostles and the other companions. They make their announcement. The Lord has risen indeed. Now we move along many, many years to when the book of Revelation was written. The church is persecuted. New churches are formed throughout the Roman Empire and well beyond. And yes, during this time, these many decades, we learn that there are many problems in the fledgling churches, but in Jesus' name, the problems are solved. Many epistles are written, and most of them to take care of problems in churches. Epistles written by Paul and Jude and James and John and Peter and others. The church continues to grow and grow. And it grows, as it grows, the author of the book of Revelation has insight as to how this Jesus, the Christ, has formed people into the new kingdom of God. If you want to follow along, in chapter 7 of Revelation, it's page 1122 at verse 9. The author, called John, sees the fulfillment of all who follow Jesus from every nation, all tribes, all peoples, all languages. John sees the fulfillment of God's kingdom in how peoples come together because of Jesus. He sees that we are one people. There are no differences among us to separate us. We are people who stand before the throne of God. We are people who carry a palm branch. This is the same palm branch we received and carried in this church on Palm Sunday. This is the same palm branch the people 2,000 years ago used to welcome Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. So we are united to those people and to all now. 2,000 years of union. John sees that all who stand before God's throne are wearing white, a clean color. Now, I had the 8 o'clock service this morning, so maybe I'm a bit hungry, but I just think of wearing white and eating ribs and it doesn't go together. I digress. John is describing that all people come together in Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. God the King sits on His throne, and no earthly power can touch God. Nobody can destroy God. And what the book of Revelation is telling us is nobody destroyed the Lamb of God. And as the multitude is before God and the Lamb of God, everyone around the throne cannot help but praise, worship, bless, give glory and honor to God and the resurrected Lamb. We together in this church are part of that multitude, and this is what John envisioned. We are part of the diversity of God's created people, the people redeemed by Jesus. We are holy people led by the Holy Spirit. Joel, would you please read the passage?
After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying,
"Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb."
And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing,
"Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.